right, let's go right to our text this morning as we continue probably another 5 or 6 outings, amen, somewhere in that neighborhood. We will finally conclude more than year-long expose into the context whereby we have been propagating the glorious body of Christ, the church. Hallelujah. The most important subject on the horizon. No matter whatever is going on, it has to take a second place. Amen. In the prioritized position to what this message is about. For it speaks about eternal abode in Christ without end. The real world. Our real existence. We're just so blessed this morning. Hallelujah. When we compare that to our existence now, amen, really there is no comparison. But amen, if we juxtapose it there, to you, it's just, they said from night to day, I think it goes further than that. When humans, amen, words just cannot express, amen, the range between the two. Amen. They are opposites. They are complete opposites. Amen. The nature of God is the complete opposite of the depraved nature. Amen. And God gave his elect his nature and placed us in the body of Christ in eternity.
Glory.
Before time. Amen. Then in the manifested sense, we're in these depraved bodies, but he shows his grace there, and even the things that we experience and do, amen, and it's all according to what he has mapped out. Oh, what great information to have as we go through life. It's should be a great encourager to all of us.
Surely.
No matter where we are and what we're involved in.
Amen.
Our focus is always in the heavenly, eternal stream of things.
Sure.
Let us go to our base scripture this morning. It begins in Galatians chapter 3, as Ella Liberman, who is our designated reader this morning, to read the normal verses 26 to 29. Then we'll go into the area that we have been gleaning from in the second chapter of Colossians. We had moved down to verse 11 and 12, and it just, I mean, it seems hard to get away from it, but it's just so much there that we understand what this business of identifying with Christ is all about, versus the fact that some teach almost would make you think that the day you came into a knowledge of your salvation, you exchanged bodies. But I'm here to tell everybody this morning that you have not exchanged. The exchange hasn't occurred yet.
Yeah.
So we went through an area in Ephesians where it became clear that the old man and the new man are in different spheres. The old man is in the earthly sphere of time, and the new man is in the heavenly sphere of eternal.
Amen.
Of
yeah.
Eternity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The old man is, he is physical, he is carnal, he's natural, amen. He is, his makeup, the nature of his makeup is the very opposite of God.
Oh, yeah.
The new man is just like Christ, because he is in Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
And from time to time, the Lord allows us to identify with him. Oh, what a blessing. That's grace within itself. Amen. The old man, don't ever confuse the old man with the new man. And some, you know, are teaching and make you think that you and I used to teach this because I read it that we're schizo, amen. You might be schizo in the time that you identify with the new man versus the time that you don't. But we're not jumping out of the new man into the old man and then back to the new man. And the old staunch Baptist used to say, well, I take my religion and I set it aside for a minute and I take care of you and then I pick you back up. No, you don't. Amen. When you do that, amen, that's just the old man manifesting himself and you're not identifying with the new man. Amen. So we must not get the old man mixed up with the new man. All right, everyone has Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Say amen. All right, read.
Galatians 3:26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
See, it has nothing to do with us. Go ahead.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ,
placed into Christ,
have put on Christ.
Amen. This is all spiritual. This is not speaking of anything in the physical. This is those of us who have been placed in the body of Christ. Amen. We have put on Christ. We're in Christ. That whole statement has nothing to do with anything in the physical sphere. This is all spiritual.
Amen.
All right. So we are in the body of Christ, and what?
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
That's what makes this so relevant, because he's saying, in the spiritual sense, in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek.
There's neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There's neither male nor female.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen. All right.
And if ye be Christ,
mm-hmm,
then are ye Abraham's seed.
Those who are in Christ are Abraham's seed.
And heirs according to promise.
Heirs according to the promise of the faithfulness of justification through the faithfulness of Christ. It is the promise of the Spirit through faith according to verse 14, through the faithfulness of Christ, through what he has done.
Yeah.
Amen. Everything that he is saying in the context here is in the spiritual realm. It has nothing to do with water baptism. It has nothing to do, amen, with anything of our actions.
Uh-huh.
Amen. This is all about what God has done for us. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 through 13, and then we'll try at least to finish up with verse 12 today if we can.
Colossians 2,
mm-hmm,
verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him.
And you see, that's why we got to understand that this is spiritual. That's a bold statement. We are complete in him.
Yes,
yes. Hmm? Yes, so he's not speaking about the faults of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Except to say that this is true in spite of the faults of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You are what a bold statement. You are complete in him.
Yeah,
amen. We are not on our way to glory. We are glorified in him, in Christ now. Amen. You are in Christ now.
Yes.
All right, read.
And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands,
mm-hmm,
and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh.
All right, we'll straighten that out in a minute. Keep reading.
By the circumcision of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Buried with him in baptism,
mm-hmm,
wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh,
mm-hmm,
hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
See, when you get to verse 13, if you don't understand this concept of the spiritual new man, new creation, it will absolutely confuse you. Amen. Because to look at us and to look at, amen, the flesh, and to look at around at the children of God, you look at me, I look at you, and we see ourselves sometimes, we'll say, well, what has Christ accomplished? He died.
All right.
Amen. But it's the new man,
right,
not the old man.
Thank God.
The new man, not the old man. The new man, he is complete.
Thank God.
He is holy.
Yes.
He is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot sin.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, well, you fool me. I just saw so-and-so doing so-and-so. Yeah, that wasn't the new man.
Right.
That ain't the new man.
Nope.
That's not the new man.
Nope.
We confuse the new man with the old man.
Amen.
When you see me acting right, I'm identifying with the new man. Otherwise, what you see is what you see. And this is what we are hoping to focus on as we look here again at the 11th verse. The word circumcised here is dealing with identification. In verse 12, the term buried with him in baptism is dealing with identification. It's not dealing with some actual physical act. You must understand this. Elder, again, take your Greek Bible, and those of us that have one can turn to it. Those that don't, listen closely. Amen. In the 11th verse, how this is read as we attempt again to bring to your understanding, if you don't already understand, amen, the vertical, eternal viewpoint of which you should be looking at these two verses, amen, that we're not talking about anything in the physical sense. In the 11th verse, ask you to read that first. Read it from the King James again. Read the 11th verse from the King James, and then read it from the Greek text. And then do the same thing with the 12th verse.
Okay.
All right. Listen closely.
Okay. Colossians 2:11, King James version.
Mm-hmm.
In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Greek text. In whom also ye were circumcised with a circumcision not hand wrought by the putting off of the body,
mm-hmm,
of the flesh,
mm-hmm,
by the circumcision of Christ.
Okay, notice here, and I want you to see that putting off there, that Greek word conveys putting off is an adjective. It is not a verb. It is describing what not hand wrought is. That which is not hand wrought, that which is not of the hands, means not of the body. Not of the body, not of the hands, not physical. This is what he is basically saying. And notice also the verb there that is translated, you were circumcised, that is not in the present tense. If the King James has you are, that should be you were. You were circumcised with that which was not hand wrought. You were circumcised with that which was not hand wrought, which not hand wrought is that the body of the flesh is not there. You notice what's missing? Of the sins. Take and circle that, at least put a question mark by it. Go back and check it out. Of the sins does not belong in there. The context does not support it. Here, if you put of the sins in there, what you will construe is that they're saying take the sins out of the flesh. Cannot take, y'all don't hear me. Cannot take the sins out of the flesh. That you cannot, we're talking about the sin nature. You cannot take the sin nature out of the flesh. That's contradictory. Amen. It's saying the putting off of the flesh is what we're after. In other words, don't just wash the baby up. Throw the baby out in the bathwater. I'm just using that analogy there. So, said, in order to understand what this circumcision is, it entails that which is void of the flesh. No flesh. Amen. And this is certified by the last phrase. Read the last phrase there.
Last phrase.
By
the circumcision of Christ.
By the circumcision of Christ. Here we have what we call the genitive case, which means that whenever you have the genitive case, grammatically speaking, something belongs to something else. So he's saying that this circumcision belongs to Christ. Just the fact that this circumcision belongs to Christ means that there it does not entail the body of the flesh. Amen. It's not hand-wrought.
Yeah.
It's not physical.
Yeah.
Just to say Christ, you're saying spiritual. You're not saying physical.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that should be construed. And that is how from our analogy, is the intended thought of what that verse is saying.
Mm-hmm.
That the circumcision which belongs to Christ is void of handwork. It is void of the flesh. It is void of that which is physical. That's all that verse is saying. But that's a lot. That's an awful lot.
Amen.
Now, when we look at verse 12, read that from the... You're with me this morning. I'm just going to talk to you. Amen. In the 12th verse of the second chapter of Colossians, would you read that?
In the King James.
Yes.
Bear with him in baptism.
Bear with him in baptism.
Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
Hurry up and read that from the Greek.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Listen up.
Okay. The Greek text, verse 12. Co-bear with him
now,
in...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Co-bear with him in the baptism, in whom also ye were co-raised through the faith of the operation of God, raising him from the dead.
Notice. Now, without getting into the grammar so deep this morning, because we went through that in a couple of our last outings, whatever is said about circumcision in verse 11 has to also be said about baptism, or being buried in baptism, in verse 12. Because right off the bat, this, amen, makes no sense when you are, if you try to put this in the physical plane. Amen. We all know that none of us were around 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ, amen, was buried. And then it says buried with baptism, buried with him. So how are you buried with him? That has to be spiritual. Not talking, amen. It's not speaking of in the physical sense.
Amen.
And so buried with him is spiritual, and also baptism He's not speaking about physical baptism.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He's speaking about, amen, spiritual baptism. The idea being the same as in the 11th verse, identification. Identification
yes.
with what Christ has done, amen, and the fact that this all belongs to him. So it is speaking of the fact that we are placed into the body of Christ, amen, buried with him in the baptism. Notice the Greek, notice the definite article to, of the, speaking of a specific baptism. So, amen, of course, if you put that into the physical realm, now we're fighting about, you know, whether it's the name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, whether it's in
yeah.
Jesus' name,
mm-hmm.
all of that. It's not speaking. It's, Paul says in Ephesians, there's only one baptism, mm-hmm. chapter 4.
Right.
Amen. And he's not talking about water. And
right.
Paul is not saying that there's only one baptism, period. He's saying that in this gospel, in this volume of truth,
yes.
amen. In this dispensation,
yeah.
there's only one baptism, and it's not water. Amen. So it is spiritual.
Yes.
It's our placement into the body of Christ. So here, this baptism, amen, if you understand this, then the second part, again, in whom also,
mm-hmm.
amen, whom also you were co-raised with him, amen, through the faith, the operation of God, raising him from the dead, amen. And you know you've got to be in the spiritual sphere for this to make any sense. And they tried to give some explanation to it in the ceremony of water baptism, saying that when you are submerged, you're buried. When they bring you back up, you're resurrected.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And in that case, you have been buried in Jesus' name, and you have risen to walk in the newness of life. And amen.
Uh-huh.
You see, you have to start. You have to really start coming up with some innovations when you started talking about this in the physical sphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That's not what Paul is talking about. And then when you look at the factuality of it, we started speaking of the decadent mood, which speaks of thing being a fact. There's no guesswork here. And if there's no guesswork here, you have to place it where there's no guesswork.
Right.
There's
God.
No guesswork in eternity.
Glory.
Amen. We're in time. Amen. There's guessing and second guessing and everything else. But in the eternal sphere of God, he placed us into the body of Christ. This is very, very, very important information. Amen. I think where we had moved down to the part where we are speaking of, amen, the essence of us being raised with him. What does it mean that you are raised with him? What is the implication of you being raised to him? Again, we must focus on the fact that this is all in reference to identification, a spiritual identification with Jesus, death and burial and resurrection. So true spirituality is displayed in recognition of the fact that all of us as members of his body have been spiritually identified with Christ, death, burial, and also his resurrection. Amen. This is why we can say, because he lived, we live. We are speaking of the essence of eternal life. Here, again, as we look at this phrase, and I guess I am going to go into a little bit of grammar here. The phrase is rendered, in whom also you were raised with him through the faithful energizing of God. And it draws the conclusion that those of us who have been identified with Jesus Christ in death and burial, notice the word identification now, those of us that have been identified with him in spiritual death and burial have also likewise been identified with him in spiritual resurrection. Notice here we have a Greek word, syniathete, which is rendered have been raised. It is in the passive voice. It is in the aorist tense. Amen. Again, that which is passive is that which is done to you. Amen. You didn't do it. Amen. And in this case, no other human didn't do it. Amen. You had it done to you. The aorist tense here speaks of a point in the past. And what point was that? Was it the day you believed? No. There's a reason that you believe. It goes back to a point way beyond that in eternity when all of this was actualized by decree in God. Something that happened before he ever created you. So as we look at this, it denotes that God had effectuated the resurrection of us in a prior point in eternity. Amen. So special attention is now drawn to the fact that all of this was accomplished where? In eternity. In eternity. Amen. Now, and of course, as it reads here, it is theotis, pistios, tis, elenias, to theo, which is rendered through the faithful energizing of God. Amen. Now, you know, you're in the spiritual realm when you're speaking this type of language. Somebody somewhere on a mourner's bench in a tarry room and somebody coming down saying a sinner's prayer. Amen. No, this is where God works. Where did God work all of this out? Amen. Is it in time based upon some move that you made? Amen. Is God working and saving people every day? No, God's not saving people every day. Amen. Everyone who is saved was saved in eternity. Amen. Where it was actualized. What is happening every day is men and women are identifying with the salvation that God procured for them in eternity. So the happening is in eternity when God did it, not in time when you understood it.
Amen.
So a thing doesn't happen when it is revealed to us. It happens, amen, when it is perceived in the mind of God. Oh, hallelujah. Your status as a child of God was a settled deal.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Way back in eternity, before you were ever made. David said, even corroborating from the Old Testament, that he knew me before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly.
Yes.
Amen. I know it's a bold statement, only in terms of what the majority of Christendom teach. But I say to you this morning, as the scripture would back it up, that he saved you before he ever made you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Now we're taught that people are being birthed into the kingdom every day. As though God is making up his kingdom. In other words, you just come on and you do your part and you'll be a part of it. That's not what this is teaching. And this is why it is so important to emphasize the aorist tense, which speaks of a past completed action.
Glory to God.
Salvation is not some, amen, event that just happening, and each day is happening, and something could come along, amen, interrupt it or change it. You've got some determinate part in it, amen. And we are writing of the position paper now, once saved, always saved. Amen. We shouldn't even have to argue about that if we understood that God did this thing in eternity.
Amen.
We could take all of this, all of these different methodologies and agendas of denominations right off the table. We could clearly date, amen, if we could just understand, amen, that God, amen, in eternity took care of all of this, all the work of salvation, everything concerning your salvation and your life, amen, God, amen, determined it and decreed it in eternity. And manifestation, amen, is reserved for time. And that's all that's going down in time is manifestation of what God has already done.
Glory to God. Amen, amen. Thank God.
Here is important to observe that the now translated faith, pistios, mm-hmm. amen, which is really faithfulness, amen. In this case, it speaks of faithful. And you notice you have the same Greek words there, pistis, pistios, and you have to draw from the context. Amen. Understanding that you can't do faith. And so in this case, it would have to be translated faithful. The faithful energizing of God. Not the faith work of God, but the faithful work of God. Amen. Here, both nouns, pistios and anaios, are both genitive. Which means that they are possessors, feminine and singular, and they are structurally cordial. I mean, they go together. Faithful working, faithful energizing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We have translated him here as a composite unit, rendering them faithful energizing, of faithful working. Follow now, follow me. The Greek now, pistios, as used in this context, is most accurately translated faithfulness, as it frequently conveys this connotation in many of the scriptures. And we have listed a few of them here, Romans chapter 3, verse 3, and I'm doing this basically for those that may be listening to this, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, Philemon 5. Amen. The same word, amen, but basically the context has to be drawn on as to whether it is speaking of that which is or that which is done. You can't do faith. You can be faith, but you can't do faith. But you can be faith. Full.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So the text would give us the inference which should be used.
All right.
So what we're saying here, or what the scripture is saying, is that the same God who raised Christ out from the dead and thereby displayed his ability, his efficacy in this regard, he is the one who faithfully worked, energized, or produced the spiritual resurrection of all believers.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the thought that is gleaned from this verse, follow me here, we'll see where we're going with this in a minute. Those who comprehend these facts through identification demonstrate true spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. In that we recognize, follow me now, the old man having been crucified and buried with Christ. How do you do this? You put off the body of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
amen, and we in recognizing this, and through association with his death, we understand that we can dwell in the spiritual plane of those that have been raised with Christ and to a new life in Him unto God. This is what Romans 6 and 4 is speaking about. There are those, and we won't go back there today. I'm going to try to let you out a little earlier today. The essence of it is that you must stay in the physical sphere, amen, and look at this as what God has done in eternity.
Glory.
Your eternal state is what the focus is on, amen. The flesh is crucified and buried. And this is true identification, because as it stands right this second, we are yet in our physical body.
Yes, yes.
We are not in our spiritual bodies. We are in our physical. We are in our physical bodies. We're not. Even when you see me walking right, I'm not in my spiritual body. I'm still in my physical body, identifying with the spiritual body.
Glory to God.
And we must understand this so that if I mess up, you won't think that something is gone wrong with the new man.
That's it. Amen.
And this is what caused many to wonder if they are saved.
Amen.
But I say, whether you act like the old man or whether you identify with the new man has nothing to do with what we have just read or what Christ has done for you in eternity.
Glory to God. Thank God. Amen.
Now you must understand this, or you're not going to get a real appreciation of the body of Christ.
Thank God.
Not going to mean too much to you. Because on the day I mess up, to say I'm in the body of Christ has to bring the value of the body of Christ down a little bit. And we make all kind of allegations about the body of Christ, and we say people give the church a bad name. You can't give the church no bad name. Because Adam is not a representative of anyone but depraved flesh. And the new man in Christ, he's eternally positioned in heaven. And through the knowledge of this, God causes us to identify with he who is positioned in the body of Christ. And so the value and the stock of the body of Christ never comes down, no matter what goes or what happens.
Yes. Amen. Thank God.
So the key here is to get you to appreciate your salvation.
Yes.
The value of it is not based upon circumstances of life and things that occur and things that happen. The good things, the bad things, or however you want to label them, amen, because sometimes we think the good is bad and we think the bad is good. But the essence is in Christ. We are in Christ.
Glory.
Follow me now.
Yeah.
So it is through identification that we demonstrate true spirituality. As we recognize the old man for what he is and that he is distinct from the new man, and we come to understand what the status of being raised in Christ means. This truth, which identifies us with the accomplishment of Christ, his death and resurrection, it is an imperative ingredient for motivation, for motivating us to imitate the life and character of the nature of Christ.
Glory.
Amen. It is God's process when he causes us to identify. It is through the process of the knowledge that he gives us to long to be like the new man.
Amen.
So here's what the bottom line is. That we're always focusing on the essence of who we are in Christ.
Yes.
And we're not satisfied with anything less than that. You see, what is being taught is reformation. And reformation, amen, through process of growth and maturity is certainly part of what God has ordered. But it is not the intent, amen, of our gospel to take the old man and make him a replica of the new man. The new man, amen, he is confirmed in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The old man, amen, for whom Paul writes and says, for us not to follow after, don't give no occasion to him. Don't trust him. Don't pet him. Don't make no excuses for him. When he mess up, if I mess up, I just messed up. Now we say, well, you know, we try to make excuses. Don't do that. Don't try to cover Adam's back. No. When Adam messed up, Adam just messed up. And I'm not picking on brother Adam, like someone writing an article, call himself defending, you know, Adam, and saying everybody's picking on Adam because everybody's saying if he had messed up, we wouldn't be in the condition we're in. But see, that's, if you don't understand the thing about eternity, of course, your mind can send you back into those type zones. Amen. But we are not under no illusion. Amen. It was inevitable. If it had been you in the garden, you'd have done the same thing. You know why? Because all Adam had to work with what you got to work with, the prey flesh. So we're not, and other part of this is to understand what regeneration means. They're teaching that when we are regenerated, we'll come back to the perfect bodies that Adam had. Whoever said Adam had a perfect body? I don't want to go back where Adam is. But that's not where the scripture teaches us.
No.
The new man is in Christ.
Yeah, Christ.
The new man has the nature of Christ, not the nature of Adam. You amen? To take me back to, amen, the dispensation of innocence and place me in the garden with Adam only sets me up to mess up again. So we must know the difference between the new man and the old man so that we'll understand that growth and development and maturity in Christ is identified with the new man.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
ain't no shocker when one of us, amen, lose it. Say, woo, pastor, don't say that. No, we're certainly not here to promote it, but we're certainly not here also to excuse it or to give an illusion that he can't show up in a day, in an hour, in a moment of the day. And he does. And when that happens, we don't want you to take the appraisal of the old man and affix it to the praiser of the new man, which means now, amen, you've got a dim view of the body of Christ if you're a member of it.
Right.
You either do that or say, well, I don't have it no more. I messed up. I'm not saved. I blew it. Amen. And many dominators teach it. Amen. You do right, you hit in the body. You mess up, you're out of the body. Like a ping pong game. Boom, bing, boom, in the body, boom, out of the body. Bing, in the body, boom. Just back and forth, bouncing in and out of the body. Amen. What do we take God for? this is why our, amen, appraisal of the church is so low. We don't know what the church is. It's the glorious body of Christ. You don't know what you have been placed into. You don't understand, amen, that if you're in the body of Christ, you have the nature of God. No, don't look at me now. You see Adam, and you see yourself. And there's not too much to write home about.
Right.
If that's what you're looking at. And there are those that teach that you can, through discipline, do this, that, and the other, and so forth. And of course, all of this is part of growth and development of identifying. But don't you ever think, you have arrived. Flesh is flesh.
Yes,
and this is what it means to identify. You got to take the whole flesh out of the way.
Glory.
Not just some portions of it. Mm-hmm. And this is how parenthesis works.
Yes.
Or exaltation.
Yes.
And that is, you have the indicative, which are the facts, and you have the imperative of those goals, amen, that are part of our contract. Amen. But it is God's process that he takes the facts or the indicative to induce the imperative. So God's methodology is that he causes us to do through the things that he teaches us. That's the purpose. That's the process of learning. This is how it works. And you know, and if you follow the correct rules of parenthesis or exaltation, the minister don't have to stand up here and read off a litany of things that you shouldn't do. Because if I miss what you're doing, then you're going to feel pretty good about yourself. So I stand up here and I started reading off a bunch of things of the Galatians speaks of what? The fruit of the Spirit and what? Against what? Opposed to the what? As opposed to the workings of the flesh. And so, if you stand up here and you start to talk about, you know, adultery, you start talking about fornication, you start talking about lying, cheating, and you start talking about the stealing, drinking, you know, smoking, using dope, and so forth and so on. And invariably, amen, you'd have to have a list bigger than this room to cover all of the workings of the flesh.
Right.
But what true parenthesis does is that it gives you the fact of who the new man is.
Yeah.
And when you see him, there's none of this there.
No.
And the idea is, as you learn and grow and develop, you don't just become uncomfortable with some of the works of the flesh. You become uncomfortable with the flesh.
Yeah.
Not with just the sins of the flesh, but with the flesh, recognizing that you will never take all the sins out of the flesh.
All right.
So our aim here,
glory,
it's not that we just become uncomfortable with a few sins, but that we become uncomfortable with the flesh. And this is what Paul is saying.
Glory.
That it is the problem is the flesh. How does God get rid of sin? How does he rid us from sin? How does he separate us from sin? Amen. Huh?
Body.
He destroys the body. And no, there's no such thing as this body being transformed. That Greek word is not even used there. Amen. In relationship to saying that there is some translation of the physical body to the spiritual body. No, he said, if this earthly house of this tabernacle be what?
Destroyed.
Well, King James says dissolve. Dissolve. What's the difference? Dissolve, destroy. That means there's no more. Mm-hmm. Huh? So actually there is an exchange where a manifestation, Adam is done away with, and the new man who was perfected in Christ all the time from eternity, is who we have been identifying with, and he is the essence of who you really are. This is what this is saying. And so we must understand this. To have appreciation for being saved. For what God has done for you. Amen. If you are clouded by Adam, if you're clouded by the flesh, you'll never appreciate this body like you should. It means something to be saved.
Yes. Glory
to God. To have salvation. And the value of it is that on any given day, anything can happen. Just put you in a total state of disillusion.
Mm-hmm.
Disillusionment with your circumstances.
Uh-huh.
Disillusionment with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Life is a drag. Things all messed up. Oh, I'm so unhappy. Wherein identification in Christ is devised to cause you always be happy. Give me about 5 minutes. I said I'm going to let you go earlier today. The final phrase, and we're going to leave verse 12 today. The final phrase, Colossians 2 and 12, reads, Eurundos, afton ek ton nekron, which is rendered, who raised him out from the dead. Here it is, speaks to the power and efficacy of the only one who is capacitated to do that, to produce such actions. This phrase basically shows in what respect the faithfulness of Christ, which is God's work, that is God's work, is the faithfulness of Christ, that he is the object of it. This is why our focus is on Christ. Christ. It is Christ who has made full provisions in raising Christ from the dead. If you understand. Now, if you start messing, trying to break up the Godhead, you're going to get confused here. Amen. Speaking of the operations and expressions of the Godhead, amen. Christ was delivered, as the Lamb of God was slain in eternity. He was delivered for our offenses and raised up through, amen, the power of God for justification. Amen. So it is by decree.
Glory. Yeah. Glory to God.
That for those whom he has elected, that we understand that this is an eternal work in the eternal realm. The revelations in manifestation, and that's what time is devised to partly show that this same power is exerted in raising him from the dead, is that which is working the true faith into our lives on a daily basis. That as head of the body of Christ, of which we are part, he works and he moves within our lives day by day. And he's working toward the end of that which he has determined and laid out for us. What's the time is gone, but what is the purpose of all of this? I mean, we've been talking about the body of Christ for a year now. And all kind of things have happened. We've had an election. We've had we had a war going on. We have local election coming up. We have all type of things that are going down. Why are we put blindness on? Which we really have not, amen. But some would view us as having put blindness on to this thing because all we've been talking about is the body of Christ. Well, the answer to that is found in what we have tried to bring out in our conference. And that is, time and creation is for manifestation only. And you start with the greatest things and you work down to the lesser things. The greatest thing is what Christ has done for us and what we are in him. The lesser things are the manifestation of those things that are happening on the way to our, amen, designated place of completing the course of time and moving to eternity. Because whatever's going down in time, these are all incidents.
Right.
Planned incidents, I may say.
Yes.
That's laid out as a course.
Yes.
But all the while, the bottom line is our position in Christ in eternity.
Hallelujah.
Because some things happen that we like, some things we happen don't like. Mm-hmm. Some things that happen we hate.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at Paul and him being in prison, and we didn't get to it today, amen, and some time down the road we'll get into it. He writes from the jail, Philippian jail, amen, and he's saying, my earnest hope and expectation is that in nothing shall I bring to shame this gospel that I preach. In other words, I haven't preached this thing so long, and now, amen, I hope that I act like I know what I've been talking about. that's all Paul is saying. Amen. He says, so that Christ may be magnified in my body. Because he said, bottom line, for me to live is Christ. And he said, and to die is gain. What a profound statement. Hmm? Which, to say that, your eyes are definitely on eternity.
Huh?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
This doesn't mean that Paul didn't care about what was happening to him. He's saying, listen, fellas, these are just incidents, occurrences, happening here today, amen, something else tomorrow.
Yeah.
And all temporary. Time and creation, temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Eternity, what?
Endless.
Forever.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be so hard to figure out, should it? Huh? So now, I said this as I go to my seat. Where do we place our priority? In time, where we are, or in eternity? Now, that doesn't mean that we have jobs to go to. Go to your job. Do go to your job. Don't do like you do here. Be on time. and do it. Take care of your families. You know, a man, he's worse than a Western name if he doesn't take care of his family. You know, take care of business. Yes, that's our gospel. That's our gospel. Take care of business. Amen. But oh, while you're taking care of this business, keep your eyes on the greater business. That's all I'm saying. And let the greater business influence this business.
Yes. Yes.
Huh? Yes. Let the essence of what Christ is, amen, influence how you act, what you do, amen, what you say. Oh, God, help us. Let it be Christ. And Christ, 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 and Christ. And if you stay in the Word of God and the Scriptures do the talking, it's going to always be talking about Christ.
Glory.
You get up here and start talking about yourself, you've left the Scriptures.
Huh?
It's about Christ. How many love Him this morning?
Hallelujah.
How many have a greater appreciation for the body of Christ. The glorious body of Christ. And now, if you understand this, I can join in with them with the understanding. If they're going to sing with the understanding, if they say, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood, in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Because that's the only way we can view the church as gloriously washed in the blood of the Lamb, the recipients of it. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, the recipients of it, buried with Him in baptism, the recipients of it, spiritually circumcised, not with hand, not made with hand, is complete in the body of Christ, the glorious essence of the entity of what God has done for us. Isn't He beautiful?
Yeah.
God bless you.